Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Psalm 23. Familiar passage. Psalm chapter 23. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 23. We will read responsively. I'll start. You'll take number two, I'll take three, and so on. Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for today, God, and we thank you for this time that we get to come together and open up your word. Thank you for the freedom to do so, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will just have your hand upon this sermon, upon this service. Encourage hearts today, Lord, and fill me with your power. Help me to speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Without you turning to it, I'm just going to read another passage of Scripture here. If you want to turn, you can, but I'm just going to refer to one just in my introduction here. Luke chapter 15. Verses 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Of course, here is a shepherd who has 100 sheep. The title of my message course is The Lord is My Shepherd. But here's a shepherd who has 100 sheep. One is lost. He leaves the 99, the Bible says here in Luke, in the wilderness to go after that one. Why would he do this? His duty was to care for not just the 99. His duty was to care for all 100, and he was concerned about the one. His desire is to care for the well-being for the sheep. It is his job to provide safety and protection from harm. A good shepherd's job is not just for well-being or for safety, but his job is to lead them in the way that they should go. In this passage, it shows that not just the 99 that were left, they were with the shepherd. They obeyed, if you will. They stayed. But there, that one that wandered, he was concerned about that one, and he wanted to make sure all came to safety and all had the protection needed. It has been said that a sheep is not very smart. They are known to wander off. They are known to wander off from the rest of the crowd, the rest of the flock, if you will. And the result of wandering oftentimes can bring much harm, even death. And the result of wandering can bring a lot of struggle and problems, if you will. The Bible says that we are likened to sheep. Isaiah 53:6 reads, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, we're likened to sheep. We have a tendency, when we get in our own selves, if you will, when we follow our own flesh, we have a tendency to do our own thing. We have a tendency when the shepherd, and we know who the shepherd is, that is Jesus, and we have a tendency that when the shepherd is leading us, and sometimes we don't always like the places that he leads us, sometimes we don't always enjoy the places that he may lead us, but the truth of the matter is when we get in our own self or in our own flesh, we have a tendency to do our own thing. We have a tendency to say, no, God, I don't want to go that way, I'm going to try it a different way. We have a tendency to wander off. We have a tendency to go our own way. We have a tendency to rebel against the authority that God has given us. When we don't like something, we go against it. You know what the Bible says? Thus saith the Lord. And if the Bible says it is wrong, that the flesh will have a tendency to go against that if we listen to it. The Bible says states things that we need to do to go ahead and enhance our Christian life. And the Bible says to follow the Lord and obey His will and do what He has us to do. The flesh doesn't like that. The flesh likes to go ahead and war, the Bible says in Galatians, against the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. The flesh doesn't like the Spirit. And of course, the Spirit of God doesn't like the flesh. And they're always fighting it against each other. Why does this happen? Of course, the flesh likes to try to get his own way. We get distracted. The flesh will cause us to be distracted from the one who will protect us. That's the great shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. The flesh will go ahead and cause us to lose sight of what really is important. By the way, the Lord is my shepherd, the Bible says. I shall not want. You know what? Whatever the great shepherd wants, it's safer for you to follow that route. Whatever he wants is the right thing. If he wants to lead you, and sometimes he'll lead you in a path that it may seem a little cloudy. You're not for sure why we're going this way. Maybe there's a little bit of adversity there. Maybe there's a little bit of struggle there. But let me tell you something. Even if you go through, the Bible says, the valley of the shadow of death, if you go through the struggles of life, if you go through the heartache, hey, the Bible says, for thou art with me. The Holy Spirit of God will be with you no matter whether you're on the mountaintop, my friend, or if you're in the valley. Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus is there. And sometimes you are led into some tough areas. Sometimes you are led into some problem areas. Sometimes you say, God, why this? You know, when I was called to preach, you know what? I was 16 years old. When I was called to preach, I go, God, why? God, I'm not, you know, I was kind of like Moses. I'm not that eloquent. You could tell. Sometimes I stutter over my words and I got to push my way through as I just did a moment ago. But the truth of the matter is, when I was called to preach, I was a 16-year-old boy. I had my own plan. I was saved. Okay, I went to church. I thank God that I was able to have a Sunday school class, a teen class, and all that. But at 16 years old, God got a hold of my life. And the truth of the matter is, at that time, you know, I knew that he was a great shepherd. I knew that he had the preacher always said that you follow the great shepherd and you allow him to lead you and to guide you and so forth. But you know what? I had my own agenda at 16. I had my own plan. You see, I grew up on a dairy farm. That's all I knew. I mean, that's all I knew. I worked around animals, man. I mean, we had the cows and we milked about 60 head of cattle, but we had over about 100 head of cattle on the farm. We'd have heifers and different things, calves and different things. And then we'd go ahead and we'd also have turkeys and we'd also have chickens and we'd also have pigs. We had, had a couple of horses. We had about everything that a farm had, is supposed to have. And I'd go ahead and I grew up, I loved working around the animals. I loved milking my way through life. In other words, I milked cows, amen? I mean, I loved it. I mean, I got up, I was used to getting up early, going out and calling in the cows, getting them ready for the milking course. Today, I know it's a lot more, the farms are so much more high-tech than what we had. We had what they call the old tie-up system. I don't know whether you know that. They just walk down the aisle and then they, you know, it's amazing. Cows are pretty smart if you think about it. They knew what stall they were to go in most every time. Once in a while, you get some tough cow that would take the wrong stall and say, what are you doing, you dummy, you know, if you will. And you have to back them out and get them in there. But most of the time, they just follow right into their own stall. Why I said that, I don't know. It sounded good. But the truth of the matter is, okay, we can laugh this morning, amen. And by the way, I want to say it's good to have Susie here this morning. I'm stopping right where I left off. I'll pick back up in a moment, but it's really good. You need to see that little one that she has, little Carly. Praise the Lord. It's precious, and I'm glad you're doing well. But anyways, and she'll come to me later. Pastor, why did you do that? No, it's okay. No, I just want to just let you know that I'm just glad she's here. And make sure you go by and see her little one. I know the ladies, whenever there's a little one, and I'll get back to preaching in a minute. It's okay. All right, you say, Pastor, you're going to remember where you left off? Probably not, so it's okay. All right, but the truth of the matter is, I saw all the ladies flocking around the little ones. They have a tendency to do that, you know what I mean? And but anyways, I'm glad you're here, and praise the Lord. Good to have her. But anyways, now what I was back on the farm there, and cows have a tendency. You thought I was going to lose myself, didn't you? But the truth of the matter is, I'm right there, and they just follow right into their stall most of the time, and they'd go ahead and take their place. And so we had the old tie-up system. Today the farms, you know, you've got the parlor, if you will. They come in and you milk about
five or six, so how many on this side and this side, whatever. It's so much more high tech today, but the truth of the matter is, that's all I knew though. I worked in the hay fields. I worked around machinery. I threw bales, and I mean, I had all this, and I enjoyed that. The truth is, at 16 years old, I was a saved young man. Went to church every Sunday and different things. And I had my plan. I was a sophomore, almost, I think, maybe a junior in high school at this particular time. And 16, 17-year-old bracket there. And God went ahead and laid on my heart that, hey, you know, I want you to be a preacher. I go, what? I mean, God, now listen, I think you picked the wrong name, Lord. I don't think you were really looking at me when the preacher was preaching. And I was in a missions conference, I remember. I was sitting... It was in a chapel service in our Christian school, but we linked some night services, and then we had the missionaries also speak in our chapel in our Christian school. I was sitting right down here about the second row and sitting there as a teenager, and he was up there, and I remember the preacher was up there, the missionary preacher was up there, and he had two signs up there. One was yield. And one was yield not. If you yield to Christ, he was saying, boy, the blessings. And he was, and if you yield not, then you don't have the blessing. And he was just going through different things. But I just remember the two signs. And I remember at that time, the Holy Spirit was working on my heart and saying, you know, hey, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, no, I'm not going to go ahead and be a preacher. I don't want to go ahead. But I went forward at the invitation. I followed the leading of the Holy Spirit at the invitation. And I came forward. I said, okay, God, I'll pray about it. If you want me to be a preacher, I'll pray about it. But I'm not sure about this thing. I think maybe you've got the wrong guy here. But I will go ahead and I'll go into full-time Christian service if that's what you want. But if you will change your mind, God, and I said this, okay, if you change your mind, God, it'll be fine because I had my own agenda. Okay, I had my plan. I was going to go to college. I was going to take some agricultural courses at the University of Maine, different things. And I was going to go back. I was going to run my dad's farm. I wanted to do that. That's what I wanted. Would it have been bad? No. But that wasn't the perfect will of God for my life. I was to go ahead and follow the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd said, hey, I have a different direction for you. I'll provide safety over here. I'll give you blessing over here. Yeah, it's not bad if you choose this. It's not bad if you go into this occupation. But the truth of the matter is, Sean, I want you to always have be in God's perfect will. I want you to go ahead and have my perfect blessing. And if you follow me, you won't regret it. I'll give you security. I'll give you protection. And I remember I used to give excuses back to God. God, you know, you want me to go to Bible college? I can't afford that. I can't do this. I mean, if I'd have gone to some state college, I could have got some grants and different things. No, you know, you trust me, Sean, and I'll go ahead and take care of you. And the truth of the matter is, to make a long story short, all through the years, I had to go ahead and trust him. And I thank God. And let me just say this, because of me following the Good Shepherd, the very best I know how, I stand here today in God's perfect will. There's safety. I feel secure this morning. And the truth of the matter is, the Good Shepherd, he wants to lead you and guide you. He wants to befriend you every step of the way. He wants to go ahead and provide your needs. He wants to go ahead and give you security. But the truth of the matter is, when we have a tendency to follow the flesh, the truth of the matter is, when we have a tendency to do our own thing, we kind of mess up God's plan, if you will. You know, it's kind of like a lady in her kitchen making cookies. Okay, if you think, you know, there's got to be right ingredients. I mean, don't ask me all the things that you need to put in, because if you want me to bake your cookies, you'll never come to my house again and ask for a cookie from Pastor Weeks. But the truth of the matter is, there's a recipe that you follow. Okay, and if you follow that recipe, the cookies are going to be tremendous. The cookies are going to be tasty. You get that old glass of milk out, it's going to be good. But you just decide, you know, I don't want to go by the recipe. I'll just throw this in, throw the eggshells in. I'll throw salt and pepper and whatever. You know what? I'm just going to do it my way. You know what? The cookies aren't going to taste so good. And the truth of the matter is, if you allow God and the Holy Spirit and the Good Shepherd, if you will, to go ahead and lead you, you know what? The cookies are going to taste a lot better. A very simple illustration, but you know what? It's going to be a whole lot better. There's going to be protection there. There's going to be blessing there. But if you decide, hey, you know, past weeks I'm saved, but that's about as far as I'm going to go with it. You know what? You'll never truly have the blessings that God wants to give you. You'll never truly have, you'll never be the finished product, if you will, that God wants to make you. I mean, if you just say, well, you know, I'm going to live my way, I'm going to do my own thing, and yeah, I'll follow the shepherd some, but you know, if I do this, it's okay, and so forth. The truth of the matter is, if you keep your eye on the Good Shepherd, if you keep your eye and allow him to lead you, and even though you may be led in some valleys, but there's always a mountaintop at the end, even though you may be led into a storm, there's sunlight at the end. Hey, what I'm trying to say here this morning, my friend, is you follow the leading of God. Keep the Good Shepherd first and allow him to be number one. one. And if you choose, okay, and others will do this, but if you choose, yes, I'm saved, but I'm going to try to do it my way, you know what? The product won't be as fine as it would be if you'd gone ahead and just stayed with the Lord and followed His will. Hey, our tendency is, of course, to do our own thing. If we listen to ourselves, if we listen to the old devil, boy, the devil likes to do anything he can to go ahead and mess up the pot. He likes to do anything he can to mess around with the ingredients, if you will. And the truth of the matter is, we need to go ahead and kick him in the face, and we need to go ahead and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow him to go ahead and lead us, allow him to shepherd us. I was counseling a young lady over a period of about a year. One of my teenagers, she was approximately 16, 17 years old. She came from a broken home, and her dad brought her to church. Her dad and her came to church faithfully. She came to my youth group. She was involved in all that we did, the activities and different things. She was very involved. She was very regular in everything on the teen soul winning. She'd go out on Wednesday's teen soul winning. She had some issues. She came from a broken home. She missed her mom very much. She would oftentimes just come to me, sometimes crying in tears, and say, Pastor Weeks, I miss her mom very much. And so, you know, Pastor Weeks, I don't know if you've ever, you know, she'd say, I don't know if you've ever came from a broken home, and I thank God I didn't, but I don't know if you ever came from a broken home. It really hurts, Pastor. She missed her mom. She missed the unity that was there when the family was together. The broken home, if you will, hurt her. But yet she found that solace, if you will. She found that place where that was safe, and she'd get involved in church, and she was a saved young lady, just a good gal, if you will. She'd find that solace, and she'd go ahead and I wanted to meet with her once to twice a week, and I'd go ahead and counsel her and pray with her and just talk to her and help her through some of the difficulties. But something happened all of a sudden. After a while, she just kind of started missing church. It was unlike her. She started missing, you know, she was faithful to Sunday school. She would even ride a bus as a bus worker. She would ride a bus. She'd go to Sunday school. She'd be in church. She was, had roles as another worker in a junior church. She'd be in youth group Sunday night at 6. She'd be at church, of course, Sunday night. Wednesdays, she'd go out teen sewing after school and, of course, stay for teen choir and for Wednesday evening church. She was involved in the activities. I would do everything I could to go pick her up and make sure she stayed involved. But you know what? One time I went to go pick her. She missed church, and I went and say, Crystal, you know what? Me and one of the other teenage boys, we're going to come pick you up. But she says, okay, but she was nowhere to be found. She started missing church, slow but sure. And along the way, she started giving up some of the standards that she had gone ahead and believed God wanted her to follow, like her music. She was listening to the right music, but she started turning her music over, kind of listening to the stuff that she knows wasn't right. I tried to go ahead and help her keep the appointments that she would have with me once to twice a week, but she started missing, and she started kind of quitting everything altogether. And one day her dad called and said, Pastor, she ran away from home. And as a result, she ran away from home. She hooked up with a guy, 17 years old. She became pregnant out of wedlock. The guy left her once he heard the news. The guy went ahead and left. She had this little dingy apartment, if you will, just out in the corner of town. She moved a couple hours away, but out in the corner of that city where she lived. She thought everything was going to be great had she gone ahead and gone this route. She called me one day, and she was just broken. Tears coming. You could just hear it over the phone. She was sobbing uncontrollably. She was just crying. She says, Pastor, I wish that I allowed you to keep advising me. I wish I'd gone ahead and allowed you to give me the advice that I needed. You always, yes, sometimes, Pastor, you were tough on me, and I know it was because you loved me and you cared for me, and I wish I'd gone ahead and listened. She was crying, and she was just weeping uncontrollably, and her heart was broken. She felt empty. I wish I'd listened to the warning of my authority. Oh, how Pastor Christner, he advised me, you advised me, and other teachers and different people. She was just naming them all off. They just were so good to me. My boyfriend left. I'm pregnant. I'm all alone. I don't know what to do. And I cried with her. I didn't know what to do. I just hurt for her. And when she, before she hung up, she says, "Pastor, I'm too far gone to go ahead and come back." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "You're never too far gone to come back. God loves you right where you are. And God can use you, believe it or not. You may not be exactly what you could have been," I told her. "You may not have all the, you know, but you can't go ahead and worry about that right there. But you can start afresh and you can start new." She says, "No, I can't." "Oh, yes, you can." And we just kind of went back and forth a little bit. I told her, "You know what? We care about you and Jesus loves you. And he wants to go ahead and do a great work in you. And he wants to allow you to come back into his will right where it may be. And you just need to go ahead and follow him and allow him to shepherd your life." And she says, "No, I can't. But I'm going to say this, Pastor. You tell the teenagers to keep on following. You tell the teenagers, you tell the young kids, you work with a bus kids preacher and you work with the teenagers at Calvary Baptist Church. You tell the teenagers, you listen to the pastor, you read your Bible, you pray, you tell them the greatest advice." She was giving me the greatest advice. She was down in the dumps. And I told her she could come back, but she says, "Tell them to keep listening. They don't want what I got here." And then she hung up. What happened? She refused to be shepherded. She refused. She got to that point where she just couldn't control. She didn't know what to do. And she refused to, and she left the protection that she had. She left the protection of home. She left the protection of God's will. She left the, she refused to allow God and God's men to shepherd her and help lead her until a point that she says, "I can't be used anymore," which she can, by the way. Let me just stop and say this. If you're there this morning, if you feel like you can't be used, Pastor Weeks, you just don't understand what I've been through. You can still be used. Maybe you can't have be used to the extent that you could have been, but why don't you just decide this morning, pick yourself back up, brush yourself back off, and get looking and get back in God's will and say, "You know what? From this day forward, I'm going to allow God to shepherd me. From this day forward, I'm going to allow him to lead me. From this day forward, I'm going to allow him to lead and guide me and grab me by the hand, and I'm not going to let go." And why don't you just decide today, from this day forward, I'm going to allow God to be number one in my life. That's what you need to do. Hey, the Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord, very simple verse, but the Lord is my shepherd. That means he wants to lead you. That means he wants to guide you. That means he wants to protect you. Hey, you know what? You get under the auspices of Christ, and maybe you are as far as salvation, but why don't you just decide today you are just going to go ahead and jump in, and I'm going to be under the auspices of Christ, and I'm going to allow him to lead me. I'm going to allow him to guide me, because there, my friend, you'll find the safety that you need. There, my friend, you'll have that security that you need. There, my friend, he'll always be with you. You're up on the mountaintop, you know what, and you may not think you need Christ. Hey, you just keep on following him anyways, because there's going to come a time, there's always a downside of that mountain. But you know what? What I'm trying to say is you allow him to shepherd you every single day. You allow him to go ahead and cover you with his protection. You allow him to lead and guide you when you're on the mountaintop and when you're in the valley. When you're halfway down, you're halfway up. You, every single day of your life, allow him to lead and guide you. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You're broken. You're hurting. You're at a place I'm not sure what to do or the way to go. Let me plead with you. You just keep on following the shepherd. You know, I'm not going to get any more simpler than I am this morning, but the truth of the matter is you just keep on following the shepherd. You're at the brink of, I think I want to quit. No, you just keep on following the shepherd. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm broken." That doesn't mean you're bad, though. That doesn't mean you're bad. You know, the truth of the matter is, a broken person does not mean, "You don't understand, God can't use me. I've been so broken, and I'm broken, and I'm heartbroken, everything, and I feel like I'm just going to fall apart." Hey, you know what? You're not bad. You may be broken. Why don't you just decide to let God go ahead and take the holy salve, if you will, and ease and take care of the brokenness of your heart? Why don't you allow him to go ahead and pour the oil of the Holy Spirit and allow him to go ahead and take the word of God and allow him to go ahead and help heal the broken spots of your life? You feel like you're on the brink of just wanting to let go. Hey, I plead with you. You keep on following the shepherd. You say, maybe there's someone here You're on the brink of changing course. I followed God long enough. I've tried this path, but the truth of the matter is I've heard it all. You know what, by the way, we've never arrived. There's not a one of us, your preacher included. We should never get to a point where we've arrived in the Christian life. We should never get to a point where we know it all, if you will. We should never get to a point where we stop learning. Hey, you know what? We need to keep on learning about Christ. We need to keep on learning this word. Hey, I'm your preacher, and I don't know it all, and I'm far from it, and the day I die, I still won't know it all, and I must go ahead and keep on learning about Christ. I must go ahead and allow this book to be a part of my life. I must allow preaching into my life. I must allow church to be a part of my life. Hey, bottom line, I must allow God to shepherd my life every single way. But maybe there's someone here, you've heard it all. The preacher preaches to do right. I know the Bible says to do right. I know what the Bible says, but you feel you've heard it all. I want to try something different. And something maybe has started to distract you, if you will, from following the shepherd's leading. And you followed, and you have followed the voice of the Lord, if you will, long enough. I've seen them. I've seen people go ahead and walk out church and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and we'll try it my way for just a little while. I've been here. I've done that. I've heard it all. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to go soul winning. I used to do this. I used to do this. I used to do this. Hey, maybe you're here today. You're right on the brink, and maybe you feel like this is just getting old hat. Hey, don't let the word of God get old hat. Don't let preaching get old hat. Don't let church get old hat. For the time that you get to that point where you feel like you've arrived, you know what? There's a red flag there that ought to be waving. Trouble's coming. Don't ever get to a point where this word of God is old hat. Don't ever get to the point where the preaching is old hat and prayer is old hat. Hey, you know what? You keep on allowing this book to be new in your life. You keep on allowing, you keep on telling God, hey, I need to go. You know what? You know one way that I did, especially as a layman, when I always said, Lord, when I go to church on Sunday morning, I need something from you. Listen to me. I need something from you. If you ask Christ, if you ask God before you come to your Sunday school class, if you ask God before you come to some midweek service, if you ask God before you go to your devotional time, if you ask God before you go ahead and come to church Sunday morning, say, Lord, you give me something. You know what? He's going to go ahead and give you something if you're sincere. He'll go ahead and give you something. And that's how the newness, and that's how the freshness of the word of God will always be in your life. And that's how the freshness of preaching. Boy, you know, I love good preaching. I wish I was one. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? One way that I kept the freshness in my life going through college and being a layman and different things, man, I said, Lord, you bless my preaching. Help him to preach something that will go ahead and I can use it this week to help keep on going for you, Lord, so I keep on looking to you and allowing you to lead and guide me. I get on the edge of my seat and say, okay, preacher, give me something. Boy, we ought to go with an attitude that God's going to give us something in church. We ought to go with an attitude that God is going to go ahead and give us something in our Sunday school class, and we ought to just go with an attitude, but don't get to a point where you've arrived, because there'll be a red flag there. Boy, there's a red flag. There's going to be danger coming. You know, I told my class this morning, Sunday school class this morning, you know, our church ought not be a place. You know, whether we are a church running 3 people or we are a church running 300 people, the truth of the matter is we ought not get to a point where we are so haughty and that we are so great that we are somebody. Let me tell you something. The moment that our church gets there, there's going to be trouble coming. There's going to be trouble coming. You know, we ought not get a place in our Sunday school class that, man, preacher, I've had this many in my Sunday school class. Well, praise the Lord, go get more. Don't get to a point where you've arrived. I think, preacher, I've gone ahead and given all I can to my Sunday school class. No, this is the most exhaustible book in the whole world. You ought to just keep on getting something new, fresh and new out of it. You know, I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is don't get to a point where you've arrived. Don't go ahead and quit on God. If you're there, you're right on the brink. You're right on the brink. Preacher, I think I'm going to try something new. Hey, I plead with you and I beg with you as your pastor, and because I love you, you keep on following the good shepherd. Maybe there's a church member here. Maybe you're here today. You feel like, man, I'm tired of the world laughing at me. You know, join the club. You know, they're going to laugh. I'm tired of the world criticizing me because I go to church and I read my Bible and I go soul winning and I pray and so forth. I'm tired of being criticized for my walk. Hey, may I remind you, Luke 21:17, ye shall be hated of all men. The Bible warns us, for my name's sake, the Bible says. Also in John 15:18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me, meaning Jesus, before you. Okay? By the way, you know what? If you're being laughed at work because of your stand, you just keep on standing. If you're being laughed at because of you reading your Bible and because you decide to pray, you just keep on reading your Bible. You just keep on deciding to pray. If you're hated because of what God is doing, because of you allowing God to be number one in your life, you just keep on allowing God to be number one in your life, because we're in good company. Jesus was hated also. And by the way, we don't have it near as bad as what he had. Not even close. He went to the cross. As far as I know, none of us here have gone that far. Hey, church member, you're tired? Tired of serving God? I plead with you as your pastor, you just keep on following the Good Shepherd. Keep on listening to his voice, his leading. And that's where the safety and the protection will be. Could there be one who got tired of service for God? Whatever reason, maybe you showed up this morning, but somewhere along the way you were saved, you were excited, but you became weary in well-doing. Won't you decide today that I'm going to get back in the will of God? Won't you decide today, you know what, I'm just going to come home to the Savior. The songwriter writes, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's not calling just for the unsaved. Yeah, you need to come. But how about those that are weary? Those that are tired? Those of just, oh, preacher, I just don't know. Hey, before you get out of the will of God, and then maybe you've strayed away from the will of God, why don't you just decide today, hey, I'm going to come back to Jesus. I'm going to come back to where he wants me to be. Maybe there's someone here, you've not been saved. You've been scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd, this Bible says. Why don't you get saved this morning? He's not just calling for the backslidden one. He's calling for you. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Oh, lost one, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't you do it. God loves you, and he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so you could have eternal life. Let me just give you a few thoughts, and I'm through, a few benefits of following the shepherd. Number one, the shepherd is the one that will provide your needs. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll provide protection and security. We've talked a little bit about that. Hey, the shepherd is also one, number two, that will restore when you've been broken. You say, well, I've been so broken, that means I'm bad. No, no, you can be fixed back up again. Why don't you decide to let the shepherd restore you and let the shepherd take over your life again and allow him to lead you and guide you and make you usable again so that you may glorify him. Hey, the Bible says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hey, if you've been broken a little bit this morning, if you've been down a little bit this morning, if you've strayed from the will of God this morning, decide to let the Holy Spirit to go ahead and come in and fix you up, if you will, and restore your soul and make it usable again. Maybe you've been a Sunday school teacher and you just kind of get tired of it. Why don't you decide today that I'm going to be used again of God? Maybe you've been a bus captain. Maybe you've been some other worker in the church or whatever the case. Maybe you've been a leader in your home for some time, but you got tired of leading your family to church. You got tired of being the one to take the step and say, okay, family, let's go to church. Hey, may I remind you this morning that Jesus, he wants to restore your soul this morning. The shepherd also, number three, is one who will be with you in the valley and the mountaintop. For thou art with me, the Bible says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, he'll go ahead and comfort you when you're hurt. He'll comfort you when you're going through the financial pressures of life. He'll comfort you when you've got the heartache, when you've got the broken relationships, when you've got the heartbreak. He'll comfort you in your health needs. Hey, he'll go ahead and take care of you right where you are. Because of who the shepherd is, he will go ahead and provide for you. you. He will go ahead and give you more than you've ever dreamed. The Bible says in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh, let me tell you something, my friend. He'll go ahead and give you blessings you've never dreamed of. He'll give you things that you never dreamed of if you just let him be number one in your life. He not only saves you, he gives you eternal life. He gives you blessings. He's provided for you, and he gives you a cup, the Bible says, that runneth over. But John 10, verse 10b, the last part of that verse says, I am come that they might have life. That's talking about you and me, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hey, what is God saying? My cup runneth over. I want to give you more than you've ever dreamed of. I want to go ahead and supply your needs. I want to take care of you. And by following him and letting him lead you and guide you, he'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, you know what? When you feel like your friends have left you, when you feel like your friends have betrayed you, hey, let me tell you something. There's one friend that'll never leave you when you're down. There's one friend that'll never go ahead and leave you when you're even on a mountaintop. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And I plead with you, you let him lead you. Why? He'll provide a cup that runs over. He provides a everlasting book. I'm talking the King James Bible right here. He's preserved it word for word. You know why? Because he wants to provide a cup that runneth over. He provides everlasting life. He wants to provide a cup that runneth over. He gives salvation to you. He blesses you with so much. So why don't you just decide? You're going to keep following him. You say, well, preacher, yeah, he gives me all that. Boy, that's a whole list of stuff that, man, we ought to thank God for. But you know what? These are the important things of life. Salvation, the word of God. Oh, but preacher, you've got to understand, you know, I'm out there and my Chevy's broke down. You know, why can't he provide that? Hey, he still provided way more than your car. Hey, you don't understand, you know, I've had health and I've had this. Hey, you know what? He still will go ahead and provide more than you've ever dreamed, but you just got to lead him and you've got to follow him and you've got to just allow him. And you know what? Take a moment. If you're sitting there with a little bit of animosity to God this morning, you're saying, well, you know, yeah, that's all good, preacher, but you got to understand this, and this. Hey, what are the real important things of life? Is it really having the finest of everything, which you can't take with you one day? And I'm not opposed to the finest of everything. If God will give you some extra money in your pocket, and I wish I could dig in my pocket and pull out some, I can't, okay? But if God provides you with money, if God provides you with some wealth, praise God and use it for him. But if he doesn't, take a step back and still look at the salvation of the Lord. Still look at how good he's been to you. He's given you eternal life. That's cup running over. He gives you an eternal book. That's a cup that runneth over. He gives you his friendship that is forever and ever and ever. He promises he'll never leave you or forsake you. Where are you at today? I plead with you, no matter what position, maybe you're already encouraged and you're happy and you're excited. Hey, you know what? You just keep following the shepherd this morning. Maybe you're just kind of on your way down. You're one of them church members or one of them people that just, hey, you know, I could go this way. I could go this way. Hey, let's go ahead and keep following the shepherd this morning. And maybe you're one that's just hurting. Keep following the shepherd this morning. And maybe you're here today that you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross so you could have eternal life. And he wants to give you the gift of eternal life. He wants to give you the gift of salvation. All you have to do is open up your heart and call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin. And he promises he'll give you eternal life. I don't know where you are in that whole broad spectrum that I spoke about this morning. But may I ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning? Could he be saying softly and tenderly to you? He's calling you. Calling for you and for me. Why don't you decide this morning, whatever it is, before you make some rash decision that may harm you, why don't you decide that, you know, I'm going to keep following the Good Shepherd. Family problems, I'm going to keep on following. Health problems, I'm going to keep on following. Heartache, I'm going to keep on following. Whatever the problem is, you know what? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. I want you to decide this morning, God, I'm going to follow you. Valleys, mountaintops, in between, I'm going to follow you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning. You've fallen away from the Lord. You're saved. You know, Jesus says this morning, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Why don't you just decide, you know what, I'm going to make a decision this morning. I'm going to go ahead and come home. Maybe you're on the mountaintop. Maybe things are fine for you this morning. Why don't you just decide, you know what, I'm going to keep following you, Lord. Week after week, day after day, I'm going to just keep following you. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, I want somebody to show me from the Bible how he could be saved. If you're a man, I'll have a man show you from the Bible how you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady show you from the Bible how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're like that here this morning, why don't you, if you're not saved this morning, I plead with you, don't leave this church without knowing Jesus. And I'm going to stand in just a moment down in front of my pulpit, and if that's you this morning, say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, shake my hand. And let me know. And let me show you from the Bible how you can be saved and have eternal life so that you can truly follow the Good Shepherd. If you have some other heartache or heartbreak you'd like me to pray with you about, also let me know that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless this invitation time. I pray, God, that if there's some lost soul here today, they won't leave. They won't push that feeling in their heart away right now. That's the Holy Spirit away right now. They'll go ahead and they'll get saved. And they'll know what salvation is all about. That eternal life, that gift of eternal life. I pray, God, that you'd be with those that maybe they're just struggling this morning. I pray, God, this morning they'll just not make any rash decisions. I pray, Lord, that you would help them. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. No one's looking around. The music is going to play. If you need to make some sort of decision this morning, why don't you decide? Just step out. Don't worry about those around you. You just step out and you make that decision. You might be a child. You might be a teenager. Maybe it's been a while since you made a decision up here for God. Why don't you decide? Adult, teenager, child, whoever it may be, that I'm going to go ahead and get some things right, or I'm just going to keep on going on for God, or I need to be saved. Why don't you do that this morning? The music's going to play.